O God, our hearts cry out, Amen and Amen. The Christ of Calvary, the Christ on the cloud, and this community of learning in between. Dear God, let it be well with our souls as we launch this new season. And let Holy Scripture engage our minds and address our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Susan Sardanico, CEO of Authentic Leadership Alliance and Executive in Residence at the Center for Creative Leadership. Very long title. She wrote a piece earlier this year in Forbes magazine entitled 10 Traits of Courageous Leadership. She opens with this line, courageous leaders are in high demand and short supply these days. We gather this morning in a chapel that is crammed with overflow. A congregation of leaders, some aspiring, some seasoned, but we have all gathered together to install a new leader, set him before God. And if I, Brother Dean, understand your mission correctly, it is to train up a new generation of leaders for this global apocalyptic movement. Is that correct? Yeah. All right. So Tardanico writes, courageous leaders are in high demand and short supply these days. She goes on, rampant fear has sent many organizational cultures into a downward spiral. According to a Connexa report, workplace stress is at the highest levels in 4 years, driven in large part by fear. In these situations, people tend to keep their heads down and their mouths shut in order to survive. Probably not preachers, but people in general. This not only applies to rank and file, but to management, to administration as well. So, she writes, these are times that call for bold, confident, courageous leadership. And guess what? God agrees. At the installation ceremony of a new leader, in his homily, he will isolate a single trait of leadership 3 times. And you guessed it. Courage, courage, courage. Open your Bible with me to Joshua 1. Thank you. A women clergy leader for reading our scripture in Deuteronomy, but we're going to Joshua now. Joshua chapter 1. Pull out your tablet, your smartphone, grab the Pew Bible in front of you. Time to be in the Word together. All right, Joshua chapter 1. I'm in the New King James Version. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Hit the pause button right there. Leadership, succession, even in the best of times, is a delicate endeavor, to say the least. The fact is, as leaders, we all have to follow somebody. Is that not right? But here's a question for you. Who in his right mind would want to follow Moses? I mean, that would be like becoming the head of the Dorcas Federation right after Mother Teresa. When we were here in the seminary, Dr. Ryle Detter, and I'll never forget him telling our class, he said, Moses, without a doubt, and this has stuck with me over the years, Moses, without a doubt, was the greatest human to have ever lived. Jurist, general, writer, administrator, historian, shepherd, poet, scientist, leader par excellence. Poor Joshua. Poor Joshua, the comparisons. But listen, don't feel sorry for Joshua. Wait till you hear what they say about you when you become the new pastor in that parish. Look, I've been there and done that. You can't avoid it. It will happen. So leadership succession is what we are witnessing today. Verse 2 again, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. They are on the very borders of the promised land, just like us. Isn't that right? Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Drop down to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Denny, so I will be with you, Egypt. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Now here they come, three of them. Number 1, be strong and of good. What's the word? Courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only, here comes number 2, be strong and very, what's the word? Courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, Brother Dean, or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Here it comes, number 3, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Courage, courage, courage. But the question that begs itself upon this installation of a new leader today is, from whence cometh this courage? The answer is but a few days hence, when the new leader is all alone. No colleagues, no counselors, no family accompanying him now. There are those moments in leadership when there's nobody but you. You can be surrounded by people, yet none of them knows the sense of aloneness that grips your heart and your mind. Joshua, the new leader, is all alone by choice, all alone. Patriarchs and Prophets reveals, Joshua withdrew, and I'm quoting now, he withdrew from the encampment to meditate and to pray that the God of Israel would go before his people. To meditate and to pray that the God of Israel would go before his people. What else does a spiritual leader pray for? What else do we pray for then that Almighty God of Israel might please go before your people? Go before my people, O God. I've known Gigi Muscala for a long time. I've married off a couple of his children, Eva's children, actually, and Gigi's. I've read a scholarship. We've traveled overseas together on a preaching and teaching mission. I've read his writings, and I think I know his heart. And Yiji, the prayer of the new leader, Joshua, will surely be your prayers as well. Only now, Brother Dean, you will not only be praying for the young men and women that are or were your students in your own classes. Now all 450 plus of this seminary become the burden of your heart and ceaseless prayers. Suddenly now, their impact on the wider campus of this university is your concern and the grist for your impassioned intercession. For what good are these future spiritual leaders if they cannot, if they will not positively, spiritually, morally impact the life of this campus while they are among us? God is calling you, Brother Dean, to dare to dream and to pray to God for the fulfillment of his promise, I will do a new thing. I will pour water on those who are thirsty, floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Surely, it is the longing of heaven that this new thing for Andrews University begin in this institution of the theological seminary. And why not? Should not the school of the prophets be the head and not the tail? You are their new leader. And so, like Joshua, You must pray that the God of Israel will go before these new leaders to be, while they are here, to do his new thing in our midst. So there he was, Joshua, all alone, lost in thought and prayer. But the truth is, hallelujah, we are never alone as leaders. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man, capital M in my translation, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Offensive stance, right? Sword drawn. Offensive stance. And Joshua went to him. I can't believe that. I'd have run from him. Joshua went to him. And he shouted, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, when God declares to you, "Be strong and of a good courage," and promises you, "I will never leave you or forsake you," apparently, you really can be courageous. When my son Kirk was growing up in our neighborhood, he used to have T-shirts. And Kirk would wear them all over the neighborhood. Just two words on the T-shirt: "No fear." Apparently, that's what divine courage does for leaders today. No fear. Instead of running from, Joshua runs toward with a question. Did you notice that question? Right there at the tail end, Joshua went to him and he said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Are you for us or are you against us?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, logically the answer should be, "I'm for you or I'm for them." But this sword-drawn warrior says, "No." No? What kind of an answer is that? I'm asking you, are you for us or are you against us? You don't say no. But that is what he says. He says no. Meaning, neither. Now listen. Which is a very pertinent point for this seminary community to remember. There is a rather heated dispute going on these days within this building and within this denomination. Something about who has the authority to serve as a spiritual leader in the gospel ministry of our community of faith. And professors in this building have written eloquent papers in favor of, as well as opposed to. And students within this building have taken positions in favor of, as well as opposed to. And perhaps some nearby preacher may have done the same. Why are you laughing? So the question is, whose side... which side is the God of Israel on? Are you on our side or are you on the other side? To which the pre-incarnate Christ answers, "No." Meaning neither. As the Rabbi Paul once admonished us, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him give us all things? For if God is for us, who can be against us?" Surely not God. Does God have a will in this matter? Perhaps he does. But let us not mistake the fact that he has a will with the notion that he is taken aside. He may have an opinion, but he does not have a side. Neither is his response. For he is all for us all. 7 billion children on the edge of spiritual extinction. And we wonder whose side he's on. He's on their side. And if he's on their side, he's on our side. And if he's on our side, that means we are all on the same side. So Joshua ran up to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Commander of the army, Tsar Tzibah, Hebrew phrase used only twice in Holy Scripture, here in Joshua. The other reference is in the heart of that apocalyptic chapter that gives us our meaning and destiny as an apocalyptic movement, Daniel chapter 8. Captain of the Lord's host, Prince of the Lord's host, one and the same. Martin Luther's Lord Sabaoth and his mighty Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He is one and the same. He is the mighty second person of the Godhead. Are you for us or are you against us? Neither. I'm above all of you. Shoes off. And Joshua fell to his face and worshipped, which in the end, brothers and sisters, every leader must do, new or seasoned. It matters not. For the authentication of spiritual leadership is always bestowed through worship. Without worship, deep, daily, as Andrea was reminding you a moment ago, without worship, deep, daily, and personal, there is no spiritual leadership. Leadership presupposes worship. No worthyship before God, no leadership before man or woman. Why? Because, and here's the point, no leader can successfully lead who is not himself first led. No leader can successfully lead who is not herself first led. First, you must be led, Brother Dean. Then you must lead. Fellow seminarians, first we must be led, then we lead. Then we lead. And who shall lead us? None other than the captain of the Lord's host, the Prince of Princes, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That is our leader. That is the one leader we have come today to acknowledge. The one leader before whom we bow today in worship. That's the leader who has gathered us. Yahshua, Hebrew. Which being translated, Jesus, Greek. I was here once. Yahshua, Jesus, which being translated is Jesus, whose name forever shall mean the Lord is salvation. Isn't that amazing? The next time this sword-drawn warrior will appear on earth in person, he will have already chosen for himself the name of the new leader. It's the first male name in all of Holy Scripture into which is embedded the name of Yahweh, the Lord. The Lord is salvation. I'll take your name if you don't mind when I come to earth. And he did. Wow. And you shall call his name Yehoshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to me, he said. Follow the leader, the one every leader must follow. Ellen White, 1905, Review and Herald, July 3. This is dynamite. Listen. We are to lift the cross and follow the steps of Christ. Those who lift the cross will find that as they do this, the cross lifts them. Isn't that something? The cross lifts them, giving them fortitude and courage, and pointing them to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You want courage? Then lift high the cross and follow the Christ. That's where courage is birthed. In case you didn't know this, our new dean hails from a place called Bohemia, which is the Czech Republic today. I once spent a weekend with him and Karen and I with Yiji and Eva in that great city, and we traced together, you remember that? We traced the steps of the great Bohemian reformer named Jan Hus. Yeah. And I'll never forget that day, Yiji, when we stood together in the very pulpit where the reformer preached week after week in the celebrated Bethlehem Chapel of Prague. Jan Hus, who ended every sermon, preachers, ended every sermon with the identical sentence, "Truth conquers all." Wow. And with that truth thundering from his pulpit, the Bohemian crumbled the primacy of the Middle Ages church, courage, courageous, in spades. And as the agents of Rome set flame to the pyre at the foot of that stake to which John Huss was bound, the courageous leader began to sing, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Until finally the flames choked his voice. Courage! "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to me." This he said, signifying by which death he would die. The captain and the Bohemian and courage, born of the truth for us all that no leader can lead who is not first led. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Not yet. We want to pray for our dean, Dr. Arthur Stella is here from the General Conference, Director of Biblical Research Institute. They've asked the two of us to pray. E.G., Brother Dean, I think the best place would be right up here, if you don't mind. And I'd like to invite his colleagues to come first. If you would just come, gentlemen, you can take your hats off, leave them on the pew if you wish, but just come here. We're going to surround. Just leave a little space for Arthur and me. We're going to surround our new dean. Then I want to, and Eva, I want you to come up there with E.G. And then the students, just press out. We won't all be able to put our hands on him, but we'll touch the person in front of us who touches the person in front of her and so on, and we will lift up our dean together. So E.G., right up here, and then faculty, colleagues, come, and then students right behind them. Well, let's just flood the altar today. We're going to ask you to kneel. Neil, come on up. Let's find a place near someone, some space where you can kneel. That's fine. Fill up this. This can be filled up here. If you're close enough to our new dean, put your hands on him. Students, come right behind the faculty. Come right on up. Come right on up. Balcony. Pray for us. Pray with us. And if you can't kneel in the aisle, then God will understand if you remain standing. But if you can get up close here, touch somebody in front of you. And somebody's touching somebody beside you, and we will pray. I'm going to have the balcony stand in prayer, please. Would you? Please. Dr. Stella.
Oh, Lord, our God, we are gathered here to lift up your servant, Dr. Jiri Maskala, whom you have entrusted to lead this very important institution of your church. Lord, you know better than anyone else how important this institution is for the worldwide church. And now you have chosen Jiri, Lord. And we plead with you and we ask you, please bless him. Give him wisdom from above. Lord, give him wisdom so that he could know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Give him the Holy Spirit. And give him, Lord, the support from his colleagues. May he be protected from all attacks of the enemy. And may he always look up to you, the source of wisdom and power, the source of all what he really will need. Bless his family, his children, his grandchildren. And may he see the results of his labor, because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Holy Father, we touch and agree with that prayer just prayed. We also touch and agree that the threefold courage that Christ himself offered to Joshua be the divine bestowment upon our new dean. Threefold courage. Perhaps the greatest courage of all would be his courage, Father, to yield to you every new dawning, yield himself to be led as a child by you. You are the leader we bow before this morning. May the living Christ, the Joshua of heaven, stand by this man through the third person of the Godhead. And as he prays, as he earnestly intercedes on behalf of his colleagues and his students and this campus and the global field for your community of faith, hear his prayer, O God, on our behalf. And when he at last rises from his knees, each dawning, send him forth with courage, courage, courage to do the work of Christ in the name of Christ. For the hastening of Christ's return, we pray in Jesus.
I dreamed of a city called glory, and it was so bright and so fair. And when I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy, holy, the angels, they met me there." Then they carried me from mansion to mansion, and the sights I saw. That's when I said that I want to see my Jesus, for he's the one who died for us. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." I clapped my hands and said, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." the Son of God. Then as I entered the gates of that city, oh, my loved ones, they knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven, and all the scenes, they were too many. They were too many to tell. Then I saw Abraham, saw Jacob, and Isaac. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy. Oh, but I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus, for he's the one who died for me. And I clapped my hands and said, glory, glory, Father God, glory. I clapped my hands and cried, holy, holy to the Son of God. I clapped my hands and cried, holy. I clapped my hands and said, holy. I clapped my hands and cried, holy, holy is the Son of God. Glory to the Son of God.
Thank you, Doreen. I can't sing like that. But I do have to give the charge to the dean, and it's very much related to the charge we've given to the seminary. So the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary disseminates knowledge about God through careful study of his word in Scripture. In so doing, it respects the integrity of Scripture, the times in which it was written, its languages, and the context within which its human authors did their work. Further, the seminary teaches the truth about God as systematized in the theological disciplines, making certain that the Scriptures remain the measure of all theology, so that our theology speaks the truth about God consistently to each passing generation and in every human context where the gospel is preached. Therefore, the seminary will also study the 2-millennia-long Christian history, from the first followers of Christ to the last, with special emphasis on the life and belief of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, its mission and ministry as outlined by God's messenger to us, and not neglecting the life and times of our older brothers and sisters in faith, the Jewish people who gave us the Hebrew Scriptures, and the family into which our Lord was born and raised. The seminary prepares pastors, ministers, teachers, counselors, chaplains, and Christian workers to carry out the assignments Jesus gave us before he left this earth, namely to preach, teach, and make disciples of all people, and to do so without discrimination based on age or gender or nationality or ethnicity, economic status, or any other classification into which we may divide God's children, both in Christian lands and in faraway mission fields. Therefore, the seminary faculty and students will become a community of Christian servant leaders who worship and pray together, who support each other, and who take social and ethical responsibility for those placed in their care. In this way, the seminary faculty will also become a light and inspiration to the other faculties and schools in this university to the mutual benefit of all, and an engaged partner in the large worldwide educational ministry of this university to the church and to others who cherish the values we embrace. This is the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, and Andrews is the Seventh-day Adventist University. We are together as partners in this educational ministry. So, Dr. Shiri Maskala, on behalf of the church and the university, I charge you to lead this faculty and these students as a shepherd dean with vision, compassion, integrity, in accordance with the assignments given to the seminary. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit sustain you and support you always in this sacred task.
President Andreessen, Dr. Luxton, Dr. Stelle, Dr. Nelson, your charge, prayers, sermon, and presentation deeply touched me. My esteemed faculty, honorable guests, staff, students, and friends, I am greatly honored by your presence. When I accepted God's call to be a pastor, I promised God that as his servant, I would accept any position in the church except being a treasurer. But at the time when I struggled with God, I forgot to mention to him that I had no desire to become a dean, because it did not occur to me that one day it would become for me a real possibility. This is why, Dr. Andreessen, when you called me in late February with this news, I could not refuse. I trusted God's leadership, and when God calls, I follow, because he empowers for all new tasks. I take the call and charges as the dean, as the new dean of the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, with a profound respect. Even though I do take my new ministry very seriously, I do not want to take myself too seriously, because it is very dangerous not to be able to laugh at oneself and lose one's sense of humor. So I would like to charge my faculty now. I would like to charge my faculty to be always very open with me. Please, if you see that I am not me, that my behavior is not normal, that I am not listening, that the position has gone to my head somehow, kindly remind me that I am not a possessor of truth. and that I am not a prophet Elijah. I have heard that Charles Chaplin and Albert Einstein once met, and on that occasion, Einstein said to Chaplin, "What I admire about you is that your art is universal. Everyone can understand it." Chaplin responded, "But your glory is even greater than mine. Everyone admires you." And then he added, "Yet no one understands you." I do not want to experience that. Please, my friends, talk to me always openly, but softly and tenderly. I am quite a fragile human being. During triumphal entries into ancient Rome, after splendid victories, when people were euphoric and praising Caesar, he had beside him a person who, in such moments of glory, whispered to him, "Remember, you are mortal." I always want to praise the Lord for my success or victory and give him glory. An angry woman called the public relations office of a college and demanded to speak with someone in a powerful position. "I want nothing lower than a dean." The staffer replied, "Madam, there is nothing lower than a dean." It's not funny. I know that I am totally dependent upon God and that all glory belongs to him. And I expect great and marvelous things that God will do for us and through us, because I trust his promises and leadership. What he has done for his people in the past, he can repeat even with greater power and on a larger scale today. Paul stated that our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. But in the time of success, we need to be reminded that all his blessings come from his excellent leadership and providence. I fully agree with Solomon, "Unless the Lord build the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." President Andreessen, I will repeat what I said to you the late Sabbath evening on March 2 by phone. With the help of the Lord and by his grace, I accept God's call to be the dean of the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary. And I add to your charges, I want to fulfill these charges faithfully and with joy, and serve the Lord and his church in such a way that whatever I do to the glory of God. I say with Joshua, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I want to fulfill his mission for the theological seminary. Serve him and humanity. Trust him. Enjoy and cultivate his presence. And expect great things from him, accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. I really wish to live in harmony with Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." May the Lord fulfill this word in my life, because what I have is only His word. And I want to stand firmly on His promises. Soli Deo Gloria.
In response to God's word to us today through Dr. Nelson, and to join our new dean in reaffirming our mission, let us sing this song together, Lift High the Cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore His sacred name. Please stand.
Oh.